You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back. Matt Wilhelm, Dave DiNatale, live in the Galleria Studios. We are still going to continue to take your calls. Tezez, you've been waiting very patiently. Tezez, what's up, man?
Yo, how you doing, man?
Good, brother. What's up?
I'm good. I love the show. I listen to it every day.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
it. It's a good show. I listen to it every day, too. I can't believe they're letting me do it today.
Hey, I would love to do it.
Wait. We can make it happen. We'll create right. Somewhere down the line, we'll create some contest, and we'll skew it in your favor.
Right. Well, the one thing I like to say about it is the off-season things that they've been doing, I love it because I'm only like 24, so when the Browns came back, I was young. But this is the first time since they went to the playoffs that we actually have competition in spots. Like, they're making it competitive. So, me playing football when I was younger, when you're competitive at practice, it makes you competitive on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, another thing I really want to say, I want to tell people that, like, you guys got to remember, as Browns fans, when was the last time in November we played meaningful football at all?
Hey, you're right about that.
Before we went to the playoffs with Kelly Holcomb and Tim Couch as quarterbacks. So that was the last time the Browns played meaningful football.
In 07 when they were 10-6, they did. But I understand. But the point is well made. I mean, this team just, you know, over the last couple of years, you know, decade really hasn't had meaningful late season games, which is why last season, Matt, I thought was so significant for the Browns because we did get into December and games really were important.
It absolutely was. And how much fun was this city? You know, we were on the verge of the LeBron James season starting at that time. Yeah. The Browns were relevant. You know, now the Indians are good. We've got the draft ahead of us. I mean, yeah, like I said, even right now, the Cavs are the number 2 seed. You know, probably likely to be the best odds to win an NBA championship. We've got the Indians on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Jinx,
pick to win the World
jinx,
Series.
No jinx to pick to win the World Series. And we've got the Cleveland Browns, as I've said multiple times, and this is just not me. This is me repeating it, not me thinking it. The most exciting team in the NFL draft with 2 first-round picks and the most picks overall. So things are trending upward. And to Tezez's point, the one thing that I'd like to say is, and every good team that I've been a part of, and actually I've been a casualty because of it, and all the good teams out there that set a template by accumulating talent. Yeah. The more talent that you can build into that 85-man roster and create as much competition as possible is why, when it comes down to those 53-man cuts or the cut down to 65 prior to that last preseason game, you see that name get released and you're like, whoa, he just got cut by who? It's because in most cases the team has drafted a young man, doesn't necessarily have to be a first round pick. He has proved himself via training camp. He's significantly cheaper than that veteran, so much so that the general manager and head coach believe in this young player over that expensive, well-versed veteran who's done so much in their career and even maybe in so much for that organization.
Belichick, the Patriots have been masters of that, and it comes and you worry, well, geez, I can't believe they're cutting player XYZ. You know, Gerard Cherry has talked, you know, endlessly about, you know, what happened when they got rid of Lawyer Malloy there. Well, they constantly upgrade and upgrade, and you know, it may seem cold-hearted at the time, but that's what you do to try to maintain excellence. And I'm not saying we want to be the – I mean, I'd love to be the Patriots.
Sure.
4 Super Bowls in 14 years. But sometimes doing it means getting rid of guys that you've, you know, you've maybe grown attached to because, well, it's time to play the younger guy that we believe in and we're developing.
Absolutely. And as I said, in kind of setting precedence and making that point, I was, you know, a casualty of that. You know, I was in my second contract. I was going into the third year of my second-year deal. My number, you know, was over $2.5 million. And they drafted a young linebacker, a lot like I was drafted to replace somebody. In the fourth round, you give him $300,000 in bonus. He's held in a salary of $400,000. So you got a $700,000 tied up and a $2.5 million investment. And at the end of training camp, the general manager and coaches said, they're about neck and neck right now. How much money can we save towards our cap, or can we, you know, recoup to pay somebody else? And that's what happens. And yes, having the luxury to play 8 years in the National Football League, it was an absolute blessing. But that is how many, many careers come to an end in the National Football League.
Numbers game. numbers game. Do you want to hear some Pat Kerwin
yes,
here?
Yes, let's hear some Pat Kerwin.
This morning on the Hey Tony Show, which I have the privilege of co-hosting on ESPN 1540 KNR2 and ESPNCleveland.com, Tony sat down with Pat Kerwin from Sirius XM NFL Radio. He also works for CBS Sports and was a former NFL executive and scout. First things first, he talked about whether he believes Johnny Manziel can really be a good starting quarterback in the NFL.
The answer is no one knows, but my suspicion is he can't. He's too short. He's a maverick, and the NFL defenses absolutely know how to corral those kind of players. And they're going to force them. If they want to force you to stay in the pocket and be a pocket passer, they can do it. And they're able to do it. So he's going to have to become that guy. And that's where my confidence in him falls off. I don't know that he's going to ever be that guy. But I would give him a second chance because he's a first-round pick. But I would have someone waiting to be the next quarterback because I don't believe he's going to succeed.
Wow. Very aggressive comments when it comes to Johnny Manziel. But Johnny Manziel right now with his stature, still in rehab, recovering as an individual, yet to do much at the quarterback position for the Cleveland Browns. The bigger piece of the puzzle right now is Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine. So
Definitely. Let's
hear how Pat Kerwin thinks Mike Pettine and the Cleveland Browns and Ray Farmer have done thus far.
First off, they're two young guys that weren't GM and wasn't a head coach before. So there's a learning curve for them, and there's a learning curve for the owner as well. So when you have the ingredients of a rookie owner, a rookie GM, and a rookie coach, everyone has to be quiet and patient and let them all grow. I'm excited about Mike Pettine. I just think he knows how to lead people. And I think these young guys who play in the NFL take to him. And I've talked to Ray a number of times. I feel confident. Ray's surround himself with some older veteran guys, and I know he listens to them. So everyone can just relax. And I'll say this. This is the last thing I'd like to say to Cleveland fans. Those guys are not responsible for the sins of the past. Yet, just like in Detroit, and they had to deal, those fans would like to blame every regime that came in there. It's not Ray's fault that there was bad beers. It's not Pettine's fault either. So slow down on getting mad.
Slow down on getting mad.
I love that. And I think also, too, is when you listen to this show, I know there are ears out there that think simply because we're a Cleveland Browns show, and for me and Nathan, the usual host of the show, that we're paid by the Cleveland Browns and we're forced to say those types of things. First of all, that is not true. I say what I feel. I say what I see based on my professional experience as a former football player in the National Football League, having been around successful and unsuccessful organizations. But what I love is when you get an analyst on the national level who has no bias, no connection to the Cleveland Browns, and he says something like that about the leaders that we have in place. To me, gives me goosebumps because that's going to be an exciting time for the city of Cleveland, an exciting time for the Cleveland Browns, and for me to be a part of it, talking about that daily, will be a great day when it gets here.
That's pretty, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I feel the same way. Mike Pettine is such a strong leader. He just has an ability. There's a charisma there. Guys want to play hard for him. They believe in him. They believe in the play like a Brown mentality. It's obvious to us, I think, locally, but it's interesting to hear nationally it's obvious to Pat. Pat also mince words. He doesn't really believe that Manziel can make it in the NFL, but the jury isn't out. I mean, Pat said it himself. Jury isn't out yet. You got to play it out and see what happens.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And we're going to grab a break here. Coming back from break, we're going to hopefully have Dwayne Bowe on the line, brand new free agent wide receiver, the prospective number one wide receiver to be on the receiving end from whoever it is, Josh McCown, Johnny Manziel, or Connor Shaw at quarterback.
Fatty Lou.
I keep discounting Fatty Lou. That late signing still throws me for a loop. There used to be three, and now it's the four. He's the odd man out. So Matt Wilhelm, Dave DiNatale, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.